So we're holding the top of Vov Amud Aleph. And continuing on topics about the Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golias. Amar Rav, a mess be Yom Tov Rishini Sasku by a mummy. If you have a mess on the first day of Yom Tov, you have a mess on the first day of Yom Tov, then you can't have Jews be involved with burying him. You have to have Goyim do it. Whether this means, now Rashi just uses the expression over here, mess hamuta likbar, when you have a mess that needs to be buried, Rashi's not specifying over here whether we're talking about that he passed away before Yom Tov or whether we're talking about that he passed away on Yom Tov. We'll get back to that point soon. Mess be Yom Tov sheni yisasku bo Yisrael, but when you have a mess on the second day of Yom Tov, when you have a mess on the second day of Yom Tov, then Jews are allowed to be oisik with burying him. Even when you're talking the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, we're like this. Normally, we said yesterday that the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah are Yom Arichta, and therefore they have one degree of kedusha. But when it comes to a mess, Rabbah is saying it's different. Mashenkin bebeitza, as opposed to it's different when it comes to an egg, where we said then that an egg, if it was laid on one day Rosh Hashanah, then you're not allowed to eat it on the second day. But a mess is different. Nahav doi amri achbebeit. So then the Chachamim of Nahavda said that no, even an egg, if it was laid on one day Rosh Hashanah, would be mutter to eat the second day. So we had before Svara, we had Rabba before on Daf Hey saying the same thing, that it should be mutter because he held that it's Shtei Kedushas. Then how do you take a different view of it? They're saying, Bechlal, what's the reason why you should ask it on the second day for people who are far away from Beis Din? The concern is maybe that they had to make Elul 30 days and therefore that Rosh Hashanah is going to be the 30th and the 1st, like we talked about yesterday. That's not a problem. Ever since the time of Ezra, we never find that there was an Elul that was Ma'uber. So they made the takana that you have to keep Hayom Kodesh or Lamacha Kodesh, but then Hardoya is saying that it never happened in practice that they actually had to do that they had to make a 30-day Elul. In Ezra, we find that's actually in the part of Ezra that nowadays is called Nehemiah, but in really those are the two. Ezra and Nehemiah are considered one big sefer in Halacha. So in Nehemiah, describes how they had on Rosh Hashanah, everybody was gathered together and they leaned from the Torah and everybody realized how many Avedis that they did and they were crying about it and they tell them Alte Otzvu and Ched Vas Hashem Imo'uzchem and all that. And then Bayem Hasheni, it says they gathered together again and they read to them about the mitzvahs of Sukkot. So that year they had a 2-day Rosh Hashanah. But then how do you say normally you don't have that. So therefore the B'nai Chutz La'aretz have nothing to worry about that they should have to keep a second day Yom Tov. So the fact that they keep a second day Yom Tov is mitzad the same suffix as you have with every other 2-day Yom Tov, but not that it should be a vaday like we said that therefore it should be kedusha achas. So Achronim talk about the idea, in other words, that the Nahodori are saying this, that they keep 2 days of Yom Tov is a continuation, minigav same be a day. So fine, but in that case, it's the same minigav same that they had all along. They never had a reason to do it because of nishtawa edim milava. The reason why they did it to begin with was because of suffix. Very well then, so it's a suffix like any other 2-day Yom Tov, and therefore the egg that was laid on one would be mutter on the other. Okay, so getting back to the case of the mess, this that we're talking about is only if the mess has been left over. So the mess, so you already passed away earlier, and now there's a concern that the body is going to spoil. But if the body was not left over, let's say you passed away on that day, then we should leave him. Now Rashi explains that we're talking about over here the case of when we're saying that Jews can be involved with the burial on Yom Tov Sheni is only, he's saying, only if the person passed away, let's say on the first day of Yom Tov, and they couldn't find any goyim to bury him, let's say, so then you're allowed to have Jews bury him on Yom Tov. But Marzutra is saying that if the person passed away on the second day of Yom Tov, then you can't have Jews be mechalel Yom Tov for him. Now that's how Rashi learns over here. There are other Rishonim who learn differently and say that no, what Marzutra is talking about is this that we're talking about as far as having a goy do it applies only if ishtahi. But Mazutra will be saying that if loy ishtahi, if the person passed away on that day, on the first day of Yom Tov, then don't be telling Goyim to bury him. Wait until afterwards, and then wait until afterwards and bury him. That's Mazutra. Rav Ashi Yomer Afa Gabdo Yishtahi Nami Loi Mashen. Rav Ashi says even if the body has not been around for a while, even if he passed away on that day, you still don't delay the burial. My time a Yom Tov Sheni Shel Agavim Nes Kachel Shavuot Rabbanan. The Chachamim consider the second day of Yom Tov, and as we were saying, even the second day of Rosh Hashanah, as if it was a weekday regarding a mess. And that means, Rav Ashi says, "Afilu lemegas le glima ulemegas le osa." Even not only as far as things that are actually needed for the kvura, for example, to dig a caver or make an urn or what have you, even.
We should stop learning. So that should talk, right?
So not only as far as things that are necessary for the actual burial, like the caver and the urn and what have you, afilu lemegas leglima, even you would be allowed to on the second day of Yom Tov to cut cloth for beged for the mess for tachrichim or lemegas leosa, and even to cut hadassim to put, they used to have the minig in those days to put hadassim on the mita of the mess. So you're allowed to do that on the second day of Yom Tov as well. However, Omer Ravina v'ha'idun ikra chavri chashinan. But Ravina says nowadays that we have chavri, then we have to be concerned. The chavri are a rishustic nation that existed in the time of the Persians. From various other sources, it seems that particularly they were the Persian galotim. They would force Jews, that you find in many places in Shas where they harassed Jews and tried to prevent them from doing various mitzvahs. So one of them is they would try to force Jews to do work for them on Yom Tov, or to do work for them b'chlal. So on Yom Tov, at least the Yid would be able to have an excuse. He'd say, it's my holiday, you can't make me work on it. But if they see, Ravina is saying, if they see that we're doing malachas in order to bury a mess on Yom Tov, they're going to say, so what's Yom Tov? Come work for us. The Aruch says it slightly differently. It says, he says that they're going to force us to go and bury their mesim on Yom Tov, where of course you don't have a heter for that. So therefore we have to be choshish, and therefore we can't have Jews do malacha for the mess on Yom Tov. So what it is like this. So Tosfos mentions over here, Tosfos mentions a case that happened in the city of Melun in France, where one time there was a second day of Yom Tov, there was a mess, and they made a levaya. So Rabbeinu Tam was angry at them, and he sent them a message as follows. The Gemara tells us in Shabbos that there was a case where the people of a city in Babel called Bashkar, where they did that. They made a levaya, and they did malacha on the second day of Yom Tov. Or actually, no. So what it is rather that it says over there that that Rav, I think, Paskin for Bnei Bashkar, that they can't do that. And the question is, why not? We're saying over here that you could. And the answer is because Bnei Bashko are not Bnei Torda. And if you allow them to do it on the second day of Yom Tov, they're going to come to do it even on the first day or even on other times. So now Rabbeinu Tam sent a message to these people. He said that Bnei Bashko are not Bnei Torda. You guys from Milun think that you're Bnei Torda and you should be allowed to do that. So in fact, the Rishonim have a number of explanations. What was Rabbeinu Tam's problem with it, given that on the face of it, the Gemara over here says it's Mutter. So there's a lot of possibilities. Maybe, in fact, only... Maybe he was, for example, the Ramban says he was upset because there were a lot of people involved in the Levaya, far more than were necessary, and they went outside the Tchum. So maybe only you need to do it, fine, but you don't need that many people to be involved with it. Another explanation is there were goyim available. Yeah. Even the Gemara is saying over here that you can have Jews do it means when there's no goyim available, then you have Jews do it. Lav Davka does not mean when there are goyim available, as there would have been in Melun, that they should be able to do it. And there's other explanations. Another one is, given that Ravina is saying over here about the Chavri, the question is, do we still have that concern nowadays? Now, with Sadeh Chodem, we don't have the Chavri, they're long gone. But on the other hand, sometimes you have that... Sometimes Rabbeinu Tam points out at the end of the Tosfos over here that you do have Jews who are forced to work for the government, and they have an excuse, they have a built-in excuse. It's all Yom Tov. We can't work for you. But then if they see us doing malacha, then again, so you still have the same concern with the chavri. So therefore, there is that to be concerned about as well. There's also you have a lot of different possibilities. L'maisa, it says in Shulchan Aruch that we're noyeg, we don't do malachas daraisa. We don't do Malachas Daraisa for Levaya on the second day of Yom Tov. To the extent that we do things, we do Malachas Darabonim, for example. Even though the Gemara is mentioning over here Malachas Daraisa, like cutting Hadassim. Bechlal, I mean, nowadays, Lechora, that they have ways of keeping the body in the morgue, in the refrigerator, or whatever. Lav Davka, you have a heter to even make the Levaya on the second day of Yom Tov, and to the best of my knowledge, they don't nowadays. Eretz Yisrael don't have a second day Yom Tov. Right. I mean, they have a second day Rosh Hashanah, but second day Rosh Hashanah. So in Eretz Yisrael, but even Eretz Yisrael, they have more. They have such things available. So digging a grave is an Issur Daraisa, right? So therefore, so it would have to be. Yeah. So according to that, then it would have to be if you're going to make a Leviah on the second day Yom Tov, as it's brought in Shulchan Aruch, then you would have to do it. Only you'd be able to do Malachas Darabanan, but any Malachas Daraisa, you'd have to have a goy. For example, digging the grave or whatever. Yeah.
In Eretz Yisrael, what's the rationale for having 2 days of Rosh Hashanah? Just a takana?
We said yesterday because of the takana. You missed the whole thing yesterday, but I'll explain to you briefly afterwards. Right now we have ground to cover, but you were here yesterday. No, We talked about that there was a takana of the Chachamim because at one point they weren't allowed to accept Edim after Mincha, because in order not to confuse things, what's going to happen with the Shir Shoyim, and we discussed in the Gemara a few possibilities, one of them being that even after Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai changed that, after the Korban, there's no more Shir Shoyim, so there's nothing to worry about. Nevertheless, the takana of 2 days of Rosh Hashanah still exists. We talked yesterday that there were Rishonim who argued that in Eretz Yisrael, the Chataka not be necessary, but there were other Rishonim who disagreed, and we said that Lamaskana nowadays nowadays everybody holds that we keep it. Okay, going on. The Gemara tells more about 2 days of Yom Tov. Ravina have a Yosef Kamed Rav Asi or Rav Ashi. Ravina was sitting as a Talmud in front of Rav Ashi. B'shnei Yom Tov Rosh Hashanah. It was the first day of a 2 day Rosh Hashanah. Chazya to have a Otziv. He saw that Rav Ashi was upset. Amalei Amai Otziv Maus. He asked why you're upset. Amalei Jalei Yasiba Eid of Tavshilin, because I didn't make an Eid of Tavshilin. This was a Rosh Hashanah that was Thursday and Friday. So I'm going to have a
Today's
Hayom Yom. Right, mentioned Eid of Tavshilin, yeah. So because the Kavirus, the year that Hayom Yom was written was that Yom Tov was on Thursday and Friday, yeah. So Rav Ashi says, I didn't put an Eid of Tavshilin, so now I have a problem. I can't cook any food. I can't cook any food for Shabbos. So Ravina says, so why don't you make an Erev Tavshilin now? Me on the first day of Yom Tov. At the beginning of the second parak, we're going to talk a lot about the dinim of Erev Tavshilin. Rava says over there that with a 2 day Yom Tov, if you realized on the first day you didn't make an Erev Tavshilin, then you can make it and you make it tonight because it's a 2 day, it's a suffix. So you make it on Thursday, and you say, if today is Yom Tov and tomorrow is Chol, then I don't need an Erev Tavshil anyhow, because I can prepare tomorrow. If not, then if today is Chol, then I'm making the Erev Tavshil now, and you make and then it works. So why don't you do that? Right. In other words, the idea is, if tomorrow Friday really is Yom Tov, then today Thursday is Erev Yom Tov, and I'm making a valid Erev Tavshil. If today is Yom Tov, then tomorrow is Chol, and I don't need an Erev Tavshil because I can Friday is a weekday and I can prepare, yeah. So why don't you do that? Omalei, Sir Rav Ashi answers him, Amar de Omar Rava b'shnei Yom Tov Mishal Golias. You know what Rava said that was true as far as the true Yom Tovim of Golias, where it's a suffix. B'shnei Yom Tov Mishal Rosh Hashanah mi Omar. Did he say the same thing about the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, where it's not a suffix, where it's a takana of the Chachamim to have special takana to have 2 days, and it's Yom Arichta? So Ravina tells him, "Va'ami Nahadori af Beitzim Muteres." Don't the Chachamim of the Nahadori, we said at the top of the Amud, they say that not only a mess you're allowed to bury on the second day of Rosh Hashanah, but even an egg that was laid on 1 day Rosh Hashanah, you'd be allowed to eat on the second day. So based on that, then in other words, your Rosh Hashanah is like any other 2 day Yom Tov. It's Sfeika D'Yoma. Amalei Rav Mordechai. So Rav Mordechai tells Ravina, "V'feirush Amalei Mar D'Lo Savol Alahad D'Nahadori." The Rebbe, meaning Rav Ashi, told me Beferish that he does not hold of what the Nahar Jari say. Beferish does not hold of what the Nahar Jari say. So he doesn't hold that the egg would be mutter on the next day, and therefore he doesn't hold either that you can make an Erev Tavshilin from one day Rosh Hashanah to the next. And that, in fact, is the halacha. If you miss making an Erev Tavshilin any other 2-day yomtiv, then at the end of the 2-day yomtiv, that's Thursday and Friday, then you can make it tonight. If the 2-day yomtiv is Friday and Shabbos, then you have a problem, because you obviously can't make it tonight. And if it's 2-day Rosh Hashanah, Thursday and Friday, you also can't make it tonight. In that case, we'll learn in the next parak, when we talk about the dinim of Erev Tavshilin, Bez Hashem, we'll talk about can he be soymach on somebody else's Erev Tavshilin. We'll get into the dinim of that. So we say the Lashon Lono L'Chol Yisrael Adonim Be'ir Hazois, right? So because to a certain extent, you can rely on somebody else's Erev Tavshilin, but there are dinim in it. Depends whether you didn't make it B'Shoigig, B'Mezid. We'll talk about it, Bez Hashem, on Daf Zayin Yud Zayin thereabouts. Yeah. Okay. Fine. Itmar. So now, till now, we've been talking about an egg that was laid on Yom Tov. What about Itmar? Efroyach shenoyla b'yomtiv. What if the chick hatched out of the egg on Yom Tov? Are you allowed to eat it? Rav ama also shmuel v'itemer of Yechanan ama mutter. So Rav says it's also shmuel, or some say it of Yechanan, says that it's mutter. Tosfos points out, now we learned before, and we're going to learn again on Amud Beis, that if the chick hasn't opened its eyes yet, then Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says it's osur, and most of the Rishonim passed like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, so it would be treif anyway, it would be osur anyway. So we have to be talking about that it was born, it was hatched and it opened its eyes, all on the one day of Yom Tov. So now, are you allowed to? So Rav is saying no, and Shmuel or Rabbi Yechanan are saying yes. No. When the chick is born, when the chick hatches out of the egg, usually its eyes are still closed. You have like some kind of mucus, some kind of like mucus or something on its eyes that eventually wears off and it's able to open its eyes. Yeah. Rav ama also mukta. Who Rav says it's also because it's mukta. It wasn't available before Yom Tov because it was still inside the egg. And inside the egg, we said the other day for sure it's treifa. So therefore, so that's it. So it's mukta. They say because once it's born, you have a heter to shecht it. Meaning, in other words, the din we said before that when the chick is inside the egg, then it's also to eat. Everybody agrees to that, the Chachamim and Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. But once a chick is hatched out of the egg, if it was a weekday, you'd be able to shecht it, no problem. Therefore, even on Yom Tov, then you have something, you have this that you're able now to shecht it, which you weren't before, that takes away the din of mukta, that takes away the din of mukta as well. Tosfos discusses a little bit about that Shmuel and Rav Yechanan should anyway say that it's mukta because they don't hold of the broader concept of mukta. But the answer is even according to Rav Yehuda, who does hold of it, and we said at the beginning of the Masechta that we hold that way on Yom Tov. Nevertheless, in this case, they would hold that it's mukta. Amri led of Kahana of Asi Rav, what you're saying, it's also what's the difference between this and a calf that was born on Yom Tov, which you agree that you're allowed to shecht it, which in fact we're going to have further on. We're going to have a braisa saying that everybody agrees you're allowed to shecht it. So why should a chick that hatches out of the egg be any different? So he answers them because the ego was already prepared agav its mother. You would have been able to shecht the mother on Yom Tov, and the baby that you find inside it is a ben pekuah, and you're even allowed to eat it without shchita technically. So it's already mochan before Yom Tov. So they ask him, Uma ben zela ego shenolim natrefa. Nu, what about if the calf was born from a trefa mother, where the calf itself is kosher, but you can't say that it was mochan agav imoy because the mother was not available because she's a trefa. Doesn't matter, but the point is, so it's true, a treifa animal is not able to bear, is not able to carry a baby to term and bear it. Fine, so we have to be talking about that it became treifa after it was pregnant already. Fine, but it still doesn't matter. The point is that its mother was not prepared before Yom Tov to eat because she's a treifa, and now the baby, once it's born, though, you're allowed to. So the Gemara says, Shosik Rav. Rav was quiet He did not give an answer. There's many places in Chassidus where it brings this Gemara and gives it as an example of that he was quiet doesn't necessarily mean that he agreed with them. And in fact, on Omer Beis, we're going to bring a couple of other Amiroim, Rabba and others, that are going to bring reasons for why there should be that distinction and why it should be mutter. What it is it talks about in many places in Chassidus, Rav knew, al pi his chokhmah, that it has to be usur. Even if he couldn't express a reason, chokhmah doesn't know that he was an example of where chokhmah doesn't always come out, is not always able to be expressed outward in dibur, but nevertheless, he had in his machshava, he knew that it is usur, and therefore, he's still going to stick to his opinion. In fact, many of the now there's machlokas aposkim who the halacha is like. On the one hand, we say that usually the halacha is like Rav against Shmuel. On the other hand, we said that it might be not Shmuel, it might be Rabbi Yechanan, and Rav and Rabbi Yechanan, the halacha is usually like Rabbi Yechanan. And on Omer Beis, we're gonna have a braisa in support of Rav and another braisa in support of Shmuel and Rabbi Yechanan. So some of the rishonim paskin like Shmuel and Rabbi Yechanan, that would be mutter. But many of them paskin, and this is how it is in Shulchan Aruch, like Rav, that in fact it is also. So there you have, even though Shosik Rab, he couldn't give a reason why it should be also. Nevertheless, that becomes the actual halacha. So there's an example of where chokhma is not expressible, but nevertheless, it's still, the halacha is still, the chokhma is still a chokhma, and the halacha is still a halacha. Okay. So Omer Rab, v'itei Rabbi Yosef, my time as Shosik Rab. Why was Rab quiet? Leimelahu hayol muchan agav imel klavim. Let him tell them that there is a difference because the mother before Yom Tov was ready to be fed to the dogs. Because as soon as the mother dies, or even conceivably, I guess while she's alive, they could give it to the dogs and they'll eat it. So therefore, it should be considered therefore that the mother was already, you had in mind before Yom Tov that you're going to use the mother for that purpose, and therefore you can also that also includes that the baby now is available before Yom Tov also, and therefore it shouldn't be considered muktzah. Well, not available for you to eat, maybe. That's not the point. The point is, as long as you had in mind that the mother is mukhan for something, then Rabbah and Rabbi Yosef are arguing that lachora, that should be enough to make that the baby is also mukhan for something. And therefore, that's not a matter of that it wasn't mukhan before Yom Tov, and therefore that should be mukhan. Amalei Abaya, but Abaya says to Rabbah or to Rabbi Yosef, that doesn't work. You see that even something that's ready for human food, we don't say that automatically because of that is mukhan as far as dogs. According to Rabbi Yehuda, who holds of the concept of muktzah, we would say that if you have something which before Shabbos or Yom Tov was ready for human food, and now on Yom Tov, on Shabbos or on Yom Tov, instead you want to use it for animal food, Rabbi Yehuda is saying you can't do that. Ditznam, namely, we learn in a Mishnah in Shabbos. We learned it also before on Daf Beis. Mechatchenes adlurin lifnei abehema. You're allowed to cut up pumpkins in front of an animal to eat on Shabbos, where the pumpkins were something that you were going to eat that you before Shabbos you yourself conceivably could have eaten them. You're allowed to cut up a dead animal to give to the dogs. And here we're talking about that before Shabbos, the animal was still alive. So it was muchan la'adam, not in the sense you're not allowed to shecht it on Shabbos, granted, but in other words, on the point that you had in mind that eventually you're going to use it for food. And nevertheless, though, now it died, now it becomes a klavim. And so the Mishnah says you're allowed to do that, but Rabbi Yehuda, I mean, loy hoisin nevelim erev Shabbos asura. Rabbi Yehuda says if it wasn't dead before Shabbos, then it's also lefisha enim and amuchan, because it's not considered, it's not muchan, it's not prepared. You didn't have in mind that it was going to be available before Shabbos for the klavim. So we see that even though over there it was already muchan la'odam, nevertheless, we're not calling it muchan la'klavim. So how much more so, mukhan l'klavim have a mukhan l'adam? You're going to argue the other way around, that according to that opinion, that if it was only mukhan for dogs, and now you want the other way around, the mother is mukhan for dogs, the baby you're going to say is now mukhan for a person, because it's born on Yom Tov, and you want to be able to shecht it, that it should be mutter. What's the logic? Now, Tosfos Bechlal asks, how do you call it mukhan l'adam in the case of the Mishnah and Shabbos over there? The fact is, you can't shecht it on Shabbos. So what does that have to do? So Tosfos goes through several different possibilities and several different answers. One possibility is that maybe it doesn't not supposed to say me'erev Shabbos, me'erev Yom Tov, and on Yom Tov you can shech. Tosfos doesn't like that explanation. So Tosfos goes through a few other possibilities. Maybe in fact, even though it says me'erev Shabbos, really it means me'erev Yom Tov, Or another answer is that if put it this way, if he says, Tosfos says, if Muchan L'Odom is Muchan L'Klavim, then on Erev Shabbos, before Shabbos, if you were to shech this animal, it would be Muchan L'Odom, it would be also Muchan L'Klavim. So then in that case, so even after Shabbos begins, fine, the Hachana for the person no longer exists because you can't shech it anymore, but the Hachana for the Klavim still exists the same way it was Muchan L'Klavim before Shabbos, the same way it remains Muchan L'Klavim on Shabbos. And still Rabbi Yehuda says that no, because the fact is it didn't die before Shabbos. So then, in other words, according to him, you have to have in mind for the particular purpose that you're going to use it on Shabbos, Adam or Klavim, respectively. So if it doesn't work from Klavim to from Adam to Klavim, then surely it doesn't work the other way around, from Klavim to Adam. So how are you telling me then that this baby that was inside a Treifa mother, that you're saying because of that it should be considered Muchan, where the mother was only Muchan, the Klavim before Yom Tov, and the baby, now you want to have Muchan la Adam. How does that work? Amalei, so Rabba or Rabbi Yosef answers him, ain't Muchan la'adam lo yhaven Muchan la'klavim. Yes, the logic could go like that, because something that was Muchan for a person can't automatically consider Muchan for the dog. Therefore, this animal that died on Shabbos, Rabbi Yehuda is saying you can't cut it up for the dogs to eat. Demai d'chazi le'inish le'shari le'klavim, because something that a person could eat. Why would he throw it to the dogs? He might as well eat it himself. So it's not, in other words, Abaya had assumed in his question that Muchan la'odam, maybe that in other words, a person could have in mind and that this thing, either I can eat it or the dogs can eat it. Rabbi or Rabbi Yosef is telling him, no, he Davka has in mind for me, not for the dogs. So therefore, so the Nevela, before Shabbos, the animal was still alive, or when Shabbos began, the animal was still alive. You had in mind that you're going to eat it. You specifically had in mind not for the dogs to eat it, because you didn't want to take perfectly good food and throw it to the dogs. Muchan l'klavim, have a muchan l'adam, but vice versa, when you have something that's only suitable for the dogs, you can say it's muchan for the person, the dieti d'inish, I call midi d'chazile, because the person has in mind anything that would be suitable for him. And after all, he knows that there's a baby there inside the terefa. So he knows that if it's born on Yom Tov, then it's going to be available for him to eat. So therefore, he has that in mind before Yom Tov. Well, that's true, but that's neither here nor there. He doesn't have to feed them a nevela that died on Yom Tov or on Shabbos. But the point is that once he has in mind for the klavim, then yes, that also includes that if there comes out of that something which is mucham adam, that he's going to be able to eat it.
I think that the dog could eat the even if it's not.
Right. So Rashi actually mentions that point in Arma Sefta as well. On Beis Amud Aleph, when we first brought this Mishnah, Rashi mentions that point about Tircha Yisera. Right. Yes. So over here, Rashi doesn't mention that. So in context of the Gemara over here, it might be more the matter of that it's Muchan L'Odom versus Muchan L'Klavim, where before Shabbos, the Dluim are also available for a person to eat. Unless we're talking about, I think the Gemara may talk about over there, that we're talking about Dluim that are tough, and therefore people are not, they're not really the kind that people eat anyway. Okay, so that for Rab. So there is in fact a way to distinguish between a chick that was laid on Yom Tov, that hatched out of the egg on Yom Tov, versus a calf that was born from a treifa mother on Yom Tov, where at least the point is, the chick inside the egg, there's nothing you can do with it. Even a dog is not going to eat it inside the shell. So therefore, it's not even Muchan L'Klavim, as opposed to the eagle that was born from the mother is, at least the mother was Roy L'Klavim before at the beginning of Yom Tov. Again, so you have the machlokas rishonim, who the halacha is like. Most of the rishonim paskin like Rav, even though shosik Rav, and it partly because one reason is in fact the fact that we see that Rabba and Rabbi Yosef are trying to find why shosik Rav and trying to find for him. That itself shows that there's a reason to say the halacha is like him. Otherwise, why would they bother? Okay, so the Gemara says Tanya kavasei the Rav, Tanya kavasei the Shmuel v'Tamer Rabbi Yochanan. You have a brisa like each opinion. Tanya Kavasei de Rav, Ego Shanola be Yom Tov Mutter, a calf that was born on Yom Tov is Mutter to Shech to eat. Efroyach Shinoda B'Yom Tov also, whereas a chick that hatched on Yom Tov is also, and the Braisa says, Ma'hefesh yesh ben zelazeh, zem muchon agab imi b'shchita, v'zeinu muchon agab imi, because one of them is muchon together with his mother, because you could shech the mother, or even if the mother is a trefer, then we said that the mother could be fed to the dogs, and the other one is not muchon together with his mother, especially because we said the other day that we're talking about a chicken over here that's being kept for eggs rather than the shech. Okay, so that's like Rav. Tanya Kavasei de Shmuel, we tamer Rabbi Yechanan, Ego Shenerle B'Yom Tov Mutter, that if a calf was born on Yom Tov Mutter, Ve'efroyach Shenerle B'Yom Tov Mutter, and also a chick that hatched on Yom Tov, according to the second Braisa, is also Mutter. My time is Zem Mochon Agav Bimei, Ve'zem Matter, Atzmei B'Shchita, because the calf is Mochon together with the mother, and the chick, like we said on Amun Aleph, the Svara, once it hatches out of the egg, you're able to shecht it, and once it hatches out of the egg and opens its eyes, as Tosfos said, you're allowed to shecht it, so therefore the fact that you're allowed to shecht it also takes away the problem of Mukta. And we learn in a braisa in this connection, Efroyach Shenerle B'Yom Tov Osir, a chick that was laid on, that chick that hatched on Yom Tov is Osir, which is like Rav. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, I'm af b'chol Osir. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says, if it hatches even on a weekday, it's Osir. L'fisha le'mispat chu'eina, because its eyes are not opened yet. So like Tosfos said on Aleph, if it happens, the chick hatches out on Yom Tov and it still manages to open its eyes on that day, then fine. That's when we're talking about whether it would be Mutter or Osir. But Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is saying, if it doesn't open its eyes, then never mind Yom Tov. It's also just on the grounds that it's still considered shed its oath. So l'fisha le'nispat chu'eina, because the eyes are not open yet. And then, therefore, it's considered part of a sheretz, a sheretz ala aretz. It's not yet considered a bird. It's still considered, in effect, a sheretz. So the Gemara says, Kaman oz l'hod d'tanya. Which opinion then is this that it says in a braisa l'chol asheretz asheretz ala aretz means l'rabbis efroichim shalim ispatchoy nehem? Those words come to include a chick that its eyes were not opened yet, that it's still considered sheretz, that it's still considered sheretz aoyf rather than an actual bird. Come on, Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov, that would be like Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov. Again, you have a machloikus rishonim who the halacha is like, but most rishonim do paskin like Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov, that it is in fact also until it opens its eyes. New thing, Amar Rav Huna Amar Rav, Beitza im yitziasa nigmara. An egg is completed when it comes out of the chicken. So what does that mean? He just said the statement, he didn't explain in connection with what halacha that is. So my im yitziasa nigmara. So what does he mean by that? By the way, as far as the previous Gemara, by the way, Tosfos points out, so Taka, why don't we say that the calf that was born on Yom Tov should be also because of Noilud? Even if you don't talk about Muchan and Muktzah and whatever, what about the problem of Nolad? So Tosfos says Nolad is only when you have something that's food, that to begin with is food. But Baal Chayim are different. They become food after you shech them, but they're not food right at the beginning. Therefore, the concept of Nolad doesn't apply there, says Tosfos. Okay. Fine. Yeah. Okay, so... So Omer Avon Omer Av, Beitzim Tziyasa Nigmara, an egg is completed when it comes out. So my Imi Tziyasa Nigmara, what does Rav Huna mean by that? Ilema Imi Tziyasa Nigmara U'Moteres La'Oichel B'Cholov. Do we mean that at that point you'd be allowed to eat that egg with that, only at that point are you allowed to eat it with milk, but before that, if you shechted the chicken and found the egg inside, then it would be also true? But we learn in a braisa, person shechts a chicken and finds inside it completely formed eggs. You're allowed to eat them with milk. So even while they're still inside, you're allowed to eat them with milk. So what would Rav Huna mean by saying that only when it comes out is it nigmara? So he can't mean that he's talking about that. So actually, we're focusing on Hilchos Yom Tov. The Gemara is going to mention further on what more dinim about these eggs that were laid, and as far as eating them with milk. But basically, technically, the halacha is that if they already have a shell that if the shell, that if they have a shell and the shell is hard, or not even the shell is hard, even they have chelmon and chelbon, they have a yolk and a white, then technically you're allowed already to eat them with milk, it says in Shulchan Aruch. However, the Maharshal says, and many Achronim follow him, and say that no, as long as it's still inside the chicken, then you should be machmir and not eat it with milk. And that's what we do. I don't know how often it happens that they find eggs inside chickens nowadays, but if you do, I guess if you raise your own chickens, I guess you're more likely to. But so practically speaking, if you find such a thing, then practically speaking, we follow the day of the Maharshal and the others, and we don't eat it with milk. Okay. So, Ela imitzias and nigmaro muteres la'uchal b'yomtiv. So, does Rav Huna mean that once the egg comes out, then it's only then is it considered completed, but then you'd be allowed to eat it on yomtiv? So, what does that imply? Habim ima asura la'uchal b'yomtiv. What does that mean? So, if you shechted the chicken and found the eggs inside, you wouldn't be allowed to eat them. V'hatanya shechet esatanagolus u'motza b'beitzim gmoris. A person shechts a chicken and finds completely formed eggs in it. Muteres la'uchal b'yomtiv. Then you're allowed to eat them on Yom Tov. So the Braisa already is. So we already have a Braisa telling us that. We said on Beis and Beis. The reason is because even if we say the concept of Achana the Rabba, that they have to be Muchan before Yom Tov, but we said that this is an unusual kind of thing, and unusual cases the Chachamim don't make Zeris about. So you're going to tell me, okay, the Braisa is telling us something that we can't infer from the Mishnah, and therefore, in other words, that we have a concept called im Rebbe leshnor Reb Chiya minayin loy, that if Rebbe didn't teach something, where would Reb Chiya, who was a Talmud of Rebbe, know it from? Therefore, in other words, anything that we find in a Braisa, there must be something in a Mishnah that supports it, or that has something to do with it. Rebbe wouldn't have left out a halacha completely and left it for Reb Chiya to put in a braisa. You even have, by the way, in a couple of places in Shas, you have a story in Masechta Tainis, in one of them, where one of the Chachamim Ilfa, Talmud of Rebbe, says on himself that I can demonstrate any braisa that you bring me, I can show you that there's a source for it in the Mishnah. Yeah. So you're going to say, in that case, maybe you're going to say then that this Braisa maybe is a mistaken Braisa, and therefore there's no proof from it, and therefore Rav Huna has to say the din himself. But no, Honami Tanena. As a matter of fact, we do learn that in our Mishnah, because we said Beitza Shanel the Beyamdiv, Beis Shama Emim Te'ochol, Vesilalem Loi Te'ochol. Now, Bishama Bisilla only arguing if the egg was laid on Yom Tov, but the implication of the Mishnah is that if the egg was still inside the mother, then everybody would agree that it's mutter. So we see, so the Braisa is not mistaken. The Braisa is telling us more explicitly something that's implied in the Mishnah. You're going to answer maybe Beis Hillel would say that it is also even if it's still inside the mother. You're going to say that mentions Beis Hillel should know the Beyamdiv to tell us that Beis Shammai is makel even when the egg was laid. No, Ella Hadatanya. What about you have another braisa? You shech the chicken. You find eggs in it that are completed. So we say you're allowed to eat them on Yom Tov. So money. If you say that in the Mishnah, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel both that. If you say that in the Mishnah, Beis Shammai would say that you're allowed to eat the egg regardless, whether it's inside the chicken or not. And then Beis Hillel would be saying it's also to eat it, whether it's inside the chicken or whether it was laid. Then this braisa that says that if you find them inside, you're allowed to eat them, it wouldn't work like either one. According to Beis Shammai, there's no chiddush in finding it inside. It's mutter even if it was laid. And if it's Beis Hillel, then it's also either way. Necessarily, therefore, you have to say that the Mishnah does in fact mean that Beis Hillel would allow them if they're inside the mother. It's only also if they were laid. So then the question is what Rav Huna is telling us that we don't already know from the Braisa, which in turn is implied in the Mishnah. Because that's what we said. If it's laid, it's the problem. We had at the beginning of the Masechta the four possibilities. Is it because it's muktzah? Is it because Achana the Rabba? Is it that whole sugya over there? Yeah. Right. So. Now, Tosfos has a different understanding of the question and answer in the Gemara. Look, if we're already saying that the Braisa is mistaken, then why are we worrying about whether it's like Beis Shammai or Beis Hillel? Just say, okay, it's a mistaken Braisa, and have done with it. So Tosfos says, okay, but you could say that maybe that what the Gemara meant, Kamashkon beBraisa, my Deloyashmin Masnisin, doesn't mean like Rashi says, maybe the Braisa is mistaken because it's telling us a new din that we don't have in the Mishnah, and if Reb Chiya, and then where would Reb Chiya know it from if not from them? Tosfos says, rather, what the Gemara means is that the Mishnah didn't tell us specifically what happens if it's inside. So the Braisa is telling us. So the Braisa is telling us that. But then we're saying, on the other hand, no, because there's no reason to think that it would be more chomer if it's inside. It's obviously more chomer when it was laid where their Bishilul was answering it. So why would we even need the Braisa to be telling us that if it was inside? So if we assume that the egg after it was laid is more, there's more reason to be machmer on it for any of the four reasons that we said on that beis daf gimel, then when it's inside, then there's no reason b'chlal to talk about that, to tell us that it should be, to tell us about what happens when it's inside. So therefore, Rav Huna cannot mean that. He can't, when he says beitza, he means siyasa nigmana, he can't mean that point that then you would be allowed to eat it on Yom Tov, but if you found it inside, then not, because that's backward. When it's inside, there's more reason to be mekel and to allow to eat it. What Rav Huna means is you should know only after the egg is laid is it going to be fertile and a chick would be able to hatch from it. When it's inside the mother, it's not going to be able to, a chick is not going to be born from it. And the nafkamina would be not as far as the dinim of Yom Tov, but as far as buying and selling. If somebody buys eggs from somebody else, where he says, I want to be able to hatch these eggs, and you sell him eggs that were found inside the chicken when it was shechted, then it's a mekach tos. As in fact, the Gemara says, Kiahu de Amalahu, there was an example of a person who announced, Beid Pachyulaman, who wants to buy eggs from a chicken that was crowing, that was clucking when it gave birth. Pachyur, Rashi explains, is like the word paya, which means to make a noise. Like you have, for example, by Shifra and Pua, the Gemara says, Pua, Shapoya Lavlad, she would make noises and coo to the babies in order to calm them down. So the word poya means to make noise, and the same way over here, pachya, is the same thing. It means to make noise. So a chicken that makes noise when it lays eggs is obviously alive. So he's announcing that he has such eggs to sell. Or he's asking Laman not to sell. Sorry, he's asking who has those available to sell. I want to buy some. Yavol ebeya d'shchuta, they gave him eggs that came from a shechted chicken that were found inside the chicken when it was shechted. Also, l'kamei d'Rav Ami, so he came to Rav Ami for a din Torah, omelahu mekach torasu, v'hoder. So it's a mekach toras and has to be returned. So the Gemara asks, Pshita, isn't that obvious? He asks specifically for this kind of eggs from a living chicken. He got the wrong thing. Of course, the mekach toras. The answer is, Ma'u detema hayla achila kabaylahu, because you could argue he didn't necessarily want them for hatching. He may have just wanted them for eating. The only reason he mentions that they were born from a living one is because they're better, they're more fully developed. The word srivan literally means cooked. It literally means heated up, but it means, you know, they got more of the body heat to the chicken, and therefore they're more fully formed. L'may nafkamina l'may sfala beni beni. So the nafkamina would be, in that case, if we said that he only needed them for eating, then we wouldn't say it's a complete mekach tos. What we'd say is the other guy has to reimburse him the difference in value between eggs that were found inside and eggs that were found outside. But now that we're saying that, no, the point is that we have to assume he may have wanted them for hatching, and then they won't work for that at all, then it's a complete mekach tos, and he's entitled to a full refund. And similarly, the Gemara tells another story. There was once a person who was asking around who has eggs that were fertilized by a male. Now, you can have a hen is able to produce eggs without having been near a male, and generally speaking, that's how they do it nowadays. The Gemara calls it gesafna me'are. It gets heated up from the ground, like it rubs around on the ground and then gets stimulated that way to produce eggs. And then you have ones that were fertilized by a male. The difference is that the ones that are fertilized by a male are the ones that you're going to get baby chicks out of. The ones that the hen produces spontaneously, those are not going to produce chicks. Because they're just going to remain egg, which is negea, by the way, la halacha. When nowadays, if we find a blood spot on an egg, we have the min egg that we don't make any distinction and we throw out the egg. In principle, al pi halacha, one of the distinctions in that regard is whether the egg was fertilized or not. Because if the egg wasn't fertilized, that blood spot is never going to develop into a chick anyway. So technically, it should be mutter to throw out the blood and eat the rest of the egg, although we're not noyeg that way. But anyway, so this guy is asking for, he wants ones that were fertilized by a male. Yarvale Beya de Safna Me'ara. Instead, they sold them eggs where the chicken just stimulated itself on the ground and produced eggs. So he found out that it was the wrong thing. Again, he tells him it's a mekachtos, so he's entitled to a full refund. Again, the question is pshita, and the answer is mau detema hayla achila kaboylehu. Without Rav Ami telling us, you might have thought he just wants them in order to eat. Why does he mention ones that were fertilized by a male, not because those ones are fertile and the other ones are not, but because the ones fertilized by a male are fatter and then better quality to eat? So then, and in that case, again, you would say the guy only has to pay him the difference in value between those really good quality eggs and these lesser ones. Therefore, we're saying that no, he has to reimburse him the full thing because he wanted them in order to get chickens out of them, and he's not going to, and therefore it's a complete mekachtos. So we'll continue tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, explaining another possibility of what Rav Huna meant by Beitzei Mitziyasa Nigmeres, and then we're going to talk more about these dinim, about eggs, as far as Basa B'Cholav, and then more dinim about Yom Tov.
Where is the Basa B'Cholav in
Beitzei?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, for Heron.
This is one of the major sources in Halacha for these concepts about eggs, fertilized and unfertilized, and all these dinim about Basa B'Cholav and all that. Yeah. You remind me, by the way, of something else I once heard, speaking of Rav Hirschsprung's tests, that one time he was faharing, maybe it was him, maybe it was somebody else, I don't know, was faharing a bacher, and he asked him, we know you have the concept of Vlad Kodshim, that if an animal Kodshim has a baby, you have different cases, what the din is, what happens the Vlad of a Korban Pesach with the din? And the bacher starts thinking this and that, what do we compare a Korban Pesach to? Is it right. More like a Shlomim? Right. Until finally he tells him, Shota, Zacha Ben Shana.
I learned